The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus begins his ministry teaching, preaching, and healing. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, peace, and mercy from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we're gathered here today, I ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, we come together as your people today. We come looking for comfort, for strength. We come for reassurance. We come knowing that we only can get this through you. Bless us today. Be with us. Let us know your strength, your peace, your forgiveness. We come today in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anybody heard of a guy who calls himself Famous Amos? Okay, what's this guy famous for?
Cookies.
Why? Are they, they're chocolate chip cookies. Come on, anybody can do that. And then he calls himself Famous Amos. What's up with that? I don't get it. But did you ever hear the observation that everyone will enjoy 15 minutes of fame? So what would others say you are famous for? Cooking? Dancing? Singing? Writing? Maybe great oratorical skills. I had to throw that in there. But do you really want to be famous? Now just think for a second what that might be like. No privacy, always in the public eye, pressure to keep up this public persona. Have you ever met a famous person? What were they like? Did you feel like you could just go have a cup of coffee or maybe a beer and sit down and just have a normal conversation with these people? Or did it feel like they had to act a certain way in this public setting? Well, over the years, through several of my jobs, I've had the opportunity to meet a few professional football and baseball players, some pro golfers, a couple of actors and musicians. And it's been my experience that most of them were just pretty regular people. But they had attained a certain level of success in their chosen profession, and they became well known or famous. Now, I'm sure that's not true in all cases. People are people after all, and each with different personalities and priorities. But we've also heard the expression, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Seen that all too often in church history. Heck, even before our beloved Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, fell into scandal, almost before it even began. We know the name and the person of C.F.W. Walther, considered the father of the LCMS. But do you know the name of the guy who was before him? The guy who was banned to the other side of the river? His name is Martin Steffen, and his story is quite interesting if you care to check it out. At the time, he was famous and fell hard from the leadership of the church. So, Steve, what the heck does this have to do with the gospel reading for today? Well, the account really begins in a manger in Bethlehem. A baby is born and instantly becomes famous. Angels announced his birth. A king was so disturbed by hearing of the birth of the King of the Jews that he killed a great number of innocent infant baby boys just to ensure he would stay in power. A caravan of dignitaries traveled as much as 2 years from a land far off just to see this baby. An old man and an old woman at the temple knew this baby was the promised Messiah. At age 12, this boy, Jesus, was in the temple with the Jewish priests who marveled at his wisdom and knowledge. I wonder if any of them would have remembered him 20 years later. In any case, his fame was continuing to build. John the Baptist told everyone, "Behold the Lamb of God." And John also said he was not the Messiah, and he was not worthy to untie the sandals of Jesus' feet. And at Jesus' baptism, those gathered that day got a glimpse of the fame this man would have. The heavens opened, and God spoke of his beloved Son. Now, you can't get any better endorsement than that. Now, Jesus' public ministry begins. He calls his first four disciples, begins to preach in the synagogues, and perform miracles of healing. In the ESV Lutheran Study Bible, Matthew 4, verse 24 reads, "So his fame spread throughout all Syria." And verse 25, which we also heard, "Great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis," or 10 towns, "and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." All this without newspaper, radio, TV, the internet, Twitter, or Facebook. Now, can you imagine how that must have affected Jesus, and maybe even more so his disciples? Of course, Jesus tells us that he did not come for the fame or fortune associated with that, but rather to be the servant. the shepherd, the lowly, humble one. And some of the disciples seemed to be more interested in their personal gain and standing. Now, there had been other self-proclaimed messiahs before Jesus, and they had followers and disciples too. But they all soon faded from the scene after their deaths. So their fame was fleeting, much like the fame of today. You know, I heard this story one time of an old-time actor who was in a grocery store, and a person came up to them and started talking to him and said, didn't you used to be... What? Who? How soon we forget. But after over 2,000 years, Jesus is still the most famous person to ever have lived. Why? Well, initially, as Jesus began his public ministry, it was due to the miracles he performed, the healings especially. More importantly than that, he came to fulfill the law, to live a perfect life. And no one before or since can ever claim that. He came with the mission of repentance and ultimately forgiveness. He taught the world how to live and love. He gave the world the promise of eternal life. And you gotta be somebody pretty special to proclaim that. So, in this season of Epiphany, as we continue our trek to the cross of Calvary, Jesus' fame continues to grow, as does his kingdom. The ancient followers, the disciples, the believers knew this Messiah was the real deal, the one destined to save all mankind from their sin through his death and resurrection. Now, even though Jesus is the most famous person ever to have lived, his personality was that of a servant. So I think chasing after personal fame is really kind of foolish. You know, pride cometh before the fall. It's better to be one in the background. Like John the Baptist, who also said in John 3, verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. It's one who has the heart of humbleness and the heart and work of a servant. Fame ain't all it's cracked up to be. But following the most famous person ever is. It truly is everything. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in this Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.